Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're lucky to be joined by another former striker, Dean Edwards, who was a forward in the late 80s. Dean, how are you?
I'm absolutely fine, Jace. Thank you.
So what's the weather like in Torquay, Dean?
Superb. Just that I can't get out.
Well,
I know. No, tell a lot. I've just been a walk on the seafront, so it's not too bad.
Good, good, good. Well, obviously everyone's taking precautions, which is good to hear. We're going through your best 11. So, what formation are you going to go for, Dean?
Well, I'm just going to go for the standard 4-4-2.
Brilliant.
As it was the main formation when I was playing.
Well, I mean, now they've got wing backs, they've got five at the back, they've got all sorts. So we're going for the 4-4-2, which is actually popular from players from your era, Dean. So who are you starting with in goal?
Right. Now, it's been a bit of a tough one, this, Jace, because obviously you threw me a little bit when you talked about the players that I played with at the club and who were there at the club. And if I'm honest, if I spoke about the players that I played with to the players that I've put down, it would be quite different. But I'm putting players down on the proviso that the players that I've got down, if they're playing at the best of their ability, these would be the best players.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
So, in goal, at my time at the club, was obviously the one and only Tim Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, with Tim Dean, we know what he went to do. Obviously, winning the league with Blackburn, etc. He was only a young man at the time, though, wasn't he, when he was at Wolves?
He was, yeah. And that's why I put Tim in the side, because when I first came there, Tim was 17. And when you look back at it now, you think 17 and, you know, he was playing in the then third division and he had played a few games in the then second division. Tim was, you know, people looked at Tim and knew that he'd have a great career ahead of him. I mean, it was quite funny because even to this day, we still have the, you know, when the lads get together, we played in one game. I can't remember. It might have been Reading when we were 2-0 up and lost 3-2. And Sammy Chapman, and I'm not going to do the accent because I'm terrible at accents, but he came into Tim at full time. He went, "Tim Flowers," he said, "you've had your diving boots on all game." And to be fair, that story always sticks.
Yeah,
but he made a lot of mistakes that season. But it was standard really because of his age. And Tim went on to be a top class keeper and a good lad as well.
Oh, he did. So, I mean, he fulfilled his potential obviously massively. So right back, who's your number two, Dean?
Well, I couldn't face him again if I didn't put him in there, and it was Jeff Palmer. Obviously, Jeff again when he came back to the club. He must have thought, what the hell is going on? Because it was in disarray. I mean, the ground itself was, you know, it was basically derelict. Jeff come back and he probably see the likes of us running around the dressing room, you know, and thinking to himself, well, I've had people like Dugan, Richards, Mike Bailey, you know, all those people he's played with, and he's seen us, bunch of misfits running around. He probably just cannot get around it. But again, Jeff came back and he wasn't the best. I mean, he made a few mistakes. I mean, I think on Mutchie's debut, we played Rotherham at home. We drew 0-0 with about 5 minutes to go. We had a penalty. Jeff took it and missed. So Jeff wasn't brilliant when he came back. But as far as legends and you know, as a person, he's second to none.
Well, the thing is, Dean, that's a point I want to make. Obviously, you're a local lad. You played for Wolves when, sadly, there wasn't a bit of a demise. With regards to Jeff, obviously, he'd won the League Cup in 74 and he'd won the League Cup in 80. I'm going to get him on the podcast soon and he can answer this as well. But do you think it was a bit of a mistake for him to come back at that time?
Not really. I think that, you know, Wolves was in his heart and he wanted to try and get them out of trouble. But Jeff was the wrong side of 30 at the time. He probably hadn't. I mean, Jeff was a physical player. I mean, there's many a time I've seen him put left wingers in the stand. And he just wasn't that physical when he came back.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that was down to either injuries, whether he just lost the fire in his belly or whatever. But, you know, I mean, since I've finished, obviously I know what he was going through.
Yes.
I mean, I got to the same kind of mentality when I got to his age. It's a difficult one. And he probably just thought, you know, he probably went through the motions by his own admittance a couple of times.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, when he was in his pomp, he was like different class. Oh. You know, one of the fullbacks probably should have got a few more England caps.
100%. Unbelievable player, unbelievable, and obviously an absolute legend at Wolves. So, Tim Flowers in goal, Jeff Palmer's your right back. Who's your left back, Dean?
Right, my left back was a lad who, you know, I've spoken to you about him many, many times, and I think anybody who was around at our era would definitely have put him in the team. There was a lad called Dave Barnes.
Yeah.
He was probably the most loopiest player I've ever met in my life. but you know what? Half the time I wanted to go into training just to see his antics and what he was up to. I mean, the lad was a complete mental case. And even to this day, I still don't know where he is now. But, you know, taking aside what he did for the team as in spirit, he was a player. I mean, he got a great left foot. He was quick. He was strong. He was determined. And you know what? When he left us, he went on to Aldershot when they got to the playoffs against Wolves. And then after that, he ended up going to Sheffield United with Vinnie Jones and Brian Dean and the like. So he wasn't a bad player. It's just that he probably got caught in a side that wasn't up to his standard. And there was times when he probably let himself down because he should have played higher, a lot higher.
Well,
he was at Ipswich under Bobby Robson. So he definitely had ability, that's for sure.
So that's it. I mean, as charismatic as he was he great to have around the dressing room?
Oh, mate. He was the best player I have ever had the pleasure to be in a dressing room with. I used to literally have... My ribs used to ache when I used to come out. He was that funny. And some of the stories I just couldn't repeat on Bob.
I mean you have told a couple on your podcast, Dean, so I will post the link back up to that because obviously there's some great stories there from obviously your time at the club. So
we've
got your fullbacks now. Who are your two centre-halves?
Sorry. Well, again, like I said, I mean, I was at Wolves right till the March 86, and by time then, Bully and Andy Thompson was there and, you know, Rob Kelly and, you know, the likes. But I'm talking about players that the season before, when I had a good run in the team, the centre-halves, basically, it was a struggle. I mean, we were playing different centre-halves every week, but the lad that did stand out was obviously Floyd Street.
Yeah.
Floyd was a man mounting. And when Floyd put his mind to it, he couldn't get past him. And I still say to this day, the time that we played Wolves in that Sherpa Van final, Floyd didn't play. I think he was either suspended or injured. But I guarantee to this day, if he'd have played in that game, Wolves would have won.
Really? So he was... I mean, what was he like to come up against in training, Dean?
Again, Floyd was another one. You know, when you talk about Premiership players, when I've played against Premiership players or Championship players, well, probably Premiership players, they've got that hidden ability to want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas players who don't, they tend to do it when they feel like it. And I think Floyd was one of them that did it when he felt like it. And when he felt like it, he could have contained the best striker in England. When he didn't feel like it, he had flaws, and that was my take on Floyd. But a great lad again, big man mounting, very hard to play against when he was on his day. Reminded me a bit of Matt Elliott.
Okay.
But yeah, he was a good lad, Floyd. Good lad.
Brilliant. So who's partnering Floyd Street in the defensive positions?
Well, again, I mean, while I was at the Wolves, I could go through like six or seven centre-halves that partnered him at the time. I mean, Ali Robbo coming in the 86-87 season. Bellamy. Who else was there? There was Mike Cody, Ricky Herbert, Peter Zellum. I mean, you know, obviously they were good lads, but I think they were they had some kind of injury, or there was always a problem with an injury or something like that. And
yeah.
You know, we used to play games and get beat 5-3 and 3-2 and things like that. And
yeah.
I always thought if we'd have had a good centre half, you know, partnering Floyd, I don't think we'd have gone down, if I'm honest with you.
I mean, you have got to pick one, mate. You can't let Floyd play there on his own.
Yeah, well, do you know what? When I'm looking at it, it'd have to be a choice between Pete Zellum and Ricky Herbert. And I think I might just have to edge Pete at the end of the day, because he played in most of the games.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason, really. Ricky was a good lad, and so was, you know, Mike Cody. But I just think that they probably edged it out, really.
So you got four in the midfield, obviously two wingers. Let's start off on the left winger. You're playing on the left, Dean.
Yeah, I put Danny Craney on the left. Danny was a good lad, good friend of mine. You know, obviously when I went there, he'd been, you know, infamous for the two goals he scored at West Brom.
Yeah.
He got an abundance of skill, Danny. He got the ability to take players on. Coming from Celtic, obviously, big mates with Charlie Nicholas. Danny was one of them that would probably have been suited to the higher levels. I think at lower, he went down the levels, you know, players were kicking him a bit more. I think he went into his shell a little bit. But good winger, proper left winger, and had the ability to turn a game on its head whenever he felt like it again.
Brilliant. So that's Danny on the left. And who's marauding down the right?
Well, I've got to put my old pal in, Mickey Holmes. You know, I played with Mick at Wolves and Torquay. Mick was another one. I mean, if he'd got the engine of Danny, I think Mick would have definitely played at an higher level. You know, he got his 7-7 at Wolves.
Yeah.
He tipped in with a few goals when he played with me at Wolves. And he got the ability to not go past players with his pace, but he used to have a little trick Mick did, that he'd cut in, and then he'd send a player the wrong way and get a decent crossing. But yeah, Mick was a decent player. I shouldn't really be saying this, because he'll be using this now for the next couple of years.
Just about to say, Dean, he's going to be dining out on this. I'm not going to send him this podcast, mate, because if he listens to this, we're not going to hear the last of it.
There is a couple of players I could have put in front of him, but I can't. I just can't.
Yeah, he's a good lad, and obviously he was a great player, scoring that 7-7. So the two central midfielders, are you going for?
Right. Well, the first one was when I got there. There was Alan Ainsco, great engine on him, good player, done it at the top. Wasn't there very long, but when I was there, there was him, Tommy Langley, Andy King. And to be honest, Alan was just he was a bit same as Jeff. You know, I think he was at the end of his career, didn't really have the motivation. But in the couple of games that we did play, he was a decent player. You could tell that, you know, if we could have kept the side together and he'd have stayed, he would have been a big plus for the club.
Yeah, okay. And who are you partnering Alan with?
It's got to be Andy King. God rest his soul. We lost him way too early. Andy passed away about, I don't know, I would say about 7-8 years ago now. He was another one, great character in the dressing room, and he was the only lad at the time I ever saw sit on his backside and keep the ball up for probably 100 times.
Really?
And half us in that team couldn't keep the ball up 5 times.
So you won't be doing the toilet roll challenge then, will you, Dean?
Oh, yeah, I've got to do that, mate. I've got to do that for Barnstable, so I've got to kick that off, but I've got to have a few practices first.
Brilliant.
I've got to find a toilet roll first.
So, your two centre-forwards, Dean?
Right, well, obviously, Andy Mutch. Andy came, he made his debut alongside me against Rotherham, and then we partnered each other for a good, I think it was a good 15, 16, 17 games, and we had a good scoring ratio between us. And like I said, Andy, when he came, he was still non-league mentality, but as he got into his career and partnered Bully, obviously his game come on a tenfold. You know, and Andy was a good lad. He used to stop at my mum and dad's, and he was a good player, and he had a great career out of the game, considering.
Oh, yeah.
He came quite late, so I don't think he came into me. He was about 23, 24. But, you know, we had a good understanding, and I can understand how Bully, you know, sort of used him as a good foil because, you know, I scored a few goals alongside Andy, and it was a pleasure to play with him, to be honest.
So, I mean, Andy had a great career, ended up in the Premier League, so, you know, non-league to Premier League, really.
Correct.
And with Andy, like you said, he was a good foil. So for you as a centre-forward, all the assists he you know, he done for Steve, was he doing the same for you, Dean?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was one of them, and he was always busy, you know, and he'd keep players under pressure, defenders under pressure, and, you know, and like I said, you can imagine, that was my type of game as well, and Bully, obviously, he was like that, but Bully was a goal machine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just proved, especially at the lower levels, you put the defenders under pressure, and it used to help the team a lot, and Mutchie was really good at that.
So who would you partner Andy Mutch with?
Well, obviously, again, I think Steve Bull. Bully, I was there when Bully first came. I mean, there's loads of stories I have about Bully when he was first come to the ground. I always remember him turning up in his orange Ford Cortina Mark IV.
I think he's still got it now.
Well, I know he's had no tax and MOT on it. you know, he came, he was raw. But he always had a nice, you know, demeanour about him, Bully. He was never, you know, he was never big-headed. He was just normal, you know, sort of Tipton lad who just got on with it. And to be fair, you know, when I left, he obviously took my place. I thought Graham Turner was wrong doing that. Cause I don't know what he was thinking about. But, no, he was great. And he epitomises what Wolves Rise Back Out the Ashes was all about. He was a proper man's man, you know, no airs and graces. And on the pitch, I saw him play the first couple of games. I didn't see what the big hoo-ha was about him, but obviously he was only 21, I think, at the time.
Yeah, he was only young.
You know, and even when I moved to Exeter and Torquay, we used to play against the Wolves, or, you know, I remember him making his debut for England. I used to think to myself, you know, I'm so proud of him, of what he's done, because, you know, not only has he brought our own town club back to the fore, but he just shows that what could be done for lads who fall out of favour in big clubs and go to the bottom and go back to the top again, because I see a lot of lads who do it and don't ever come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I was one of them. I went from Championship to Sunday League, then back to the league again. And he did it in a much better capacity, and I was proud of him for doing that. And like I said, him and Mutchie, I think they epitomise what, you know, the Wolves are all about.
100%. So, I mean, that's a great team. Who would manage that team, Dean?
Well, for me, I mean, look, when I was growing up, Bill McGarry was like, he was like a demigod to the Wolves fans, although he wasn't, from the stories I hear, the most interactive of managers. Graham Turner gave me 2 free transfers. So, again, like I said on the podcast, if he gave me 3, he would have had to keep me. The funny thing was, I played in Graham, gave him my debut, and I got a lot to thank him for that. And we did fall out, but, you know, he's got a lot of respect from me in that. But I've got to give it to Sammy Chapman.
Yeah, who sadly has recently just passed away.
Another one who passed away. And for me, Sammy, people didn't give him enough credit for what he did for Wolves. He discovered Mutchie. You know, he brought John Purdy to the club, and he brought a lot of players to the club. You know, and he had a lot of knowledge about football, a lot more than people give him credit for. And for me, you know, he was the reason why I got back into the game. Well, and I'll be forever indebted to him for that.
Well, Dean, that's lovely words. So your team, it's a 4-4-2. Tim Flowers in goal, Jeff Palmer at right back, Dave Barnes at left back, your centre-halves, Peter Zellum and Floyd Street, centre midfielders, Alan Ainscow and Andy King. On the right side, Mickey Holmes, left side, Danny Craney, your centre-forward, Steve Bull and Andy Mutch, and your manager, Sammy Chapman. Dean, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and we'll get you on the Wolf Whistle soon. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Jazz.
Thanks, Dean. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.